Welcome to another broadcast of the Pamela Folland Show on the Artist First Radio Network. All past shows are available in podcast form. You can find them at artistfirst.com. She's the author of 9 books, a cat and dog expert, and the host of this broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Pamela Folland.
Hi, everybody. Good evening. Thank you so much for listening to the Pamela Folland Show. I'm excited to have you with me, whether you're listening live or in the archives. I appreciate you. I'm excited to be back with you and feel connected to everybody tonight, since we're still going through the process of staying away and social distancing from each other as we continue to lower the number of cases of coronavirus in the United States. So I'm happy to be here with you guys. For those of you who may be tuning into my show for the first time, let me tell you a little bit about myself. Again, I'm Pamela Folland, and I grew up in Plano, Texas, north of Dallas, and I had a deep love of pets all my life. I remember trying to bring home every stray cat and dog that I found out on walks, wanting to take extra walks in the springtime to save all the little baby birds that have fallen out of their nest. So my love of pets is very, very deep-seated and has stayed with me throughout my life as I now have my own house full of animals. And my other passion in life has always been writing. I kept diaries and journals and was writing numerous short stories from the time of early elementary school. And I think my mom still has all of these never-edited short stories, and I have all of my diaries and journals, which is really fun to look back and see what the big issue or what my big interest was back then. Always helps me stay in character when I'm writing my books. So that is where my book series came from. I have 2 book series out right now. The picture book series for 3 to 7-year-olds is Sunny the Wonder Dog, and this is based on my real-life dog. My Shih Tzu, Sunny, was so incredibly smart that I had to find a creative way of explaining his intelligence. And it had to be he was an alien from outer space, because this dog was freaky smart. So if you want to see how incredible Sunny was and see his amazing trick of how I taught him to read and see us on Good Morning Texas, you can go to his website, sunnythewonderdog.com, and see his trick and his amazing reading ability. I think he had some form of ESP or something with me, because he really was good. But that's my Sunny the Wonder Dog series, explaining how Sunny is an alien from outer space come to Earth and having to learn how to be a dog and not be able to say anything but wolf. My other series is based on my real-life cats. Over 7 years ago, I found an abandoned litter of one-day-old kittens, and I bobble-raised them. They were supposed to be fosters, and I was supposed to, you know, help them get adopted out to other homes once they were old enough, but I was so in love with them after 8 weeks of bobble raising them and being up every 4 hours with them all throughout the night that I still have all 4 of them today, and I absolutely love them to pieces. They follow me everywhere. I'm officially the mama to them. So that experience was so incredible. It inspired my middle grade fiction series written for children ages 8 to 12 or just pet-loving adults that like an easy, light read. That series is Megan's World. And 13-year-old Megan is the heroine of that series, and she gets to bottle raise and learn about pet care as she raises these kittens, just like I did. And then she starts working with a veterinarian and pet sitting. So it's a great series to teach young readers about pet care and the responsibility that it takes to have a pet. You can find out more information about me and my books at www.pamelafolland.com. So now that you know all about me and my love of pets, let's start talking about tonight's show. If, again, I'm in Texas, and here in Texas, it's starting to get hot. We've jumped kind of directly from to summer, and since we can't go very many other places, I'm taking a lot more walks with my dog, Teddy, than I normally do. And so what I'm going to talk to you tonight for the first part of the show is about preventing heat stroke and the signs of heat stroke in your pets. Because as we're all out walking our dogs more and spending more time outside, it's really important that we realize that they get hot just like we do. I know there's days I'll let my dog Teddy out in the backyard, and he's supposed to just go potty, but I leave him out there for, 5 minutes as I'm doing other things in the house. And it doesn't matter how hot it is outside. He will be there laying in the sun on the sidewalk when I go back out to get him. And he's an all-black little Shih Tzu mix. So it just kind of cracks me up. But having a black dog has definitely made me much more aware of signs of heat stroke and making sure that that little guy's safe. And the easiest way for us to do that, I know, you're going to say, Pamela, well, duh, but the easiest way to do that is to keep the dog inside with us, especially during the hot weather of Texas summers. I told you you were going to tell me duh, but anyway, it's crucial that we keep our pets safe and know the signs of heat stroke in these little dogs that we have in our care. And if you do put your dog outside, I know some dogs don't like to be in the crate and can't stay in the house while you're away because they're destructive. I know Teddy would destroy the house if I wasn't able to crate him while I was away. I know there are people that put their dogs out in the backyard while they're at work or whatever. And that's great. Just make sure that your dog has a shaded, nice place to stay while they're outside and a big bowl of water. You can put big ice chunks in it and make sure that the area or several areas will stay available for your dog to get shade all throughout the day because the sun makes the shade go away and move. And as I'm wanting to start planting plants here, I'm becoming more and more aware of where the shade areas are and aren't in my yard. So that's one way I figured out where shade is for Teddy when I let him outside, is by looking at where I can plant plants. I know, I got sidetracked. Another thing that's really important in talking about keeping your dog safe is when you do take your dog in the car with you, never leave your dog or anyone in a closed car that is off in the parking lot. Cars heat up so fast. I know I've waited for someone in the store on spring day with the car off and the windows up, and it's amazing how fast these cars heat up. When it's just 85 degrees outside, a car can reach over 100 degrees in less than 10 minutes and over 120 degrees in less than 20 minutes. So that's really hot and really uncomfortable and dangerous for us to be sitting in. So we definitely don't want to leave our little puppies in the car by themselves. So let's talk about some common signs of heat stroke that you might see in your dog. And the first one is that they will have a temperature of over 104. In dogs, that means that they are probably suffering from heat stroke. Now remember, a dog's normal temperature is higher than humans. A dog's normal temperature can range anywhere from 100 to 102.5 degrees Fahrenheit. So that is a significant fever for a little doggy to have. And you all remember the last time you had a fever, how drastically different your body feels with even just half a degree fever. So a temperature of over 104 degrees is the first sign of heat stroke. They can have excessive thirst, a rapid heartbeat, be acting really, really lethargic or have no energy. As the heat stroke progresses and gets worse, they can start having really glazed eyes, even some vomiting and excessive drooling. And it's just a really, really not a good thing that you want Boggy to suffer from. And of course, if it goes untreated, it can lead to seizures and unconsciousness in your pet. So the first priority when you think your dog or suspect your dog might have heat stroke is to get that dog's body temperature down slowly and gradually as quickly as you can. Of course, bringing your dog inside or getting him to your local veterinarian is the best option, but I realize not all emergencies happen when vets are open, and you need to know how to react. I swear, sometimes my pets choose to get sick at 9, 10 o'clock at night when there is no vet clinic or our regular vet clinic is not available to us. So if you're not able to get your pet directly to the vet, what you want to do is bring them in the house and start slowly reducing their temperature. You can get them in a lukewarm to cool bath and pour the water over them. Again, you don't want to make it cold. You don't want to send them into shock by making the temperature of the water too cold. But lukewarm to kind of cool bath water and getting them in that tub will help to reduce their body temperature. Give them plenty of water. Keep them hydrated. Let them drink as much and as often as they want because they're going to be panting. They're going to try to release that heat through their tongue by panting. So they're going to be thirsty. And then you can also place a cool fan, them in front of a fan once they are wet to help evaporate that water off of their bodies. Dogs don't sweat like we do. They release heat through their tongue and panting, as well as through the pads on the bottom of their feet. So getting their paw pads wet and letting them evaporate with a cool fan in front of them will help bring your dog's body temperature down. And you want to be monitoring that temperature of your dog. Want to be making sure that you are doing a good job of getting the temperature down and that they are recovering. You should start to see them panting less. They should start to become a little bit more energetic and start behaving more normally. And like my vet always tells me when I take my pets to him, he always says, "You're the pet mom, you know best." And it's true. You will know whether your dog is or pet is suffering from heat stroke and when they are starting to recover from it, because you know your pet better than anyone else. And if the vets aren't open or after you've taken care of your dog and think, okay, I've got him through the worst of the heat stroke emergency, you do want to get him into the vet as soon as possible, whether it's the next day or that weekend, but you do want to let your vet check your pet over from the heat stroke just to make sure that there is no internal damages or any other damage brought on by the heat stroke. And your vet will also make sure that he's sufficiently hydrated, that your pet is not dehydrated or suffering from anything else that might be a complication from the heat stroke. The vet will be able to give your dog intravenous liquids and medicine to help him fully recover. And then you want to be sure to take care of your dog and make sure you bring him in before he gets heat stroke again, because like anything, they can be very, very susceptible to heat stroke. And especially as they're recovering from heat stroke, they're going to be much more prone to get overheated again just because their system is in a weaker state. So that is my information on heat stroke, and I know it's probably not what you wanted to hear, not be worried about with everything else we have to worry about right now in the world. But it's important for us to know, and I promise you're going to like the next half of my show a lot, because I'm going to talk to you about different games you can entertain easily your cats and dogs in the house while you're stuck at home with them. So stay with me. I'm going to take a short commercial break, and I'll be back in just a few minutes.
A Reaper is the story of 5-year-old Christopher Aaron and his life-changing struggle with leukemia. Winner of both the Indy Bragg Medallion as well as the Reader's Favorite Silver Medal for Memoir, There Is a Reaper has more than 100 Amazon book reviews and a 5-star rating. It has been described as life-changing, spiritual, a must-read. Just released on Audible and iTunes, this memoir is also available in paperback and on Amazon Kindle for only 99 cents. Get your copy of this life-changing memoir today.
Brought to you by Mistech. Welcome to the future. Go to mistech.net for the full story, but in the meantime, stop thinking about leveling up and just get some Mistech. People all around the world share their experience and love how they feel after putting it on. We offer a 30-day money-back guarantee, along with a lifetime warranty. WTF? What the frequency? Find out today at mistech.net.
Get ready, Jade. I've got a surprise adventure you're going to love.
Really?
We're going to swim with Sally the Tiger Cub. Even get a photo with her that you can share with all your friends.
I don't want to go, Mom.
Feel all right, Jade? I thought you'd love this.
I'm okay, but I feel terrible for those poor tiger cubs. Did you know that they're stolen from their mothers the day they're born?
What?
Yeah. How'd you feel if someone kidnapped me at birth?
Well...
And when the cubs do normal things like nip and paw, they're punished so they'll sit still for photos. And how would you feel if you were a baby and they pushed you into a deep pool to swim for your life?
I never thought about it that way.
And when they get too big to pet, they end up being imprisoned in tiny cages.
Where'd you learn all that?
From StopBigCatAbuse.com.
Studies show that children who learn compassion for animals show more compassion for humans. So teach your children well. Learn more at StopBigCatAbuse.com.
Hello, Arnold Schwarzenegger here with an important announcement. You may remember me from movies like The Terminator, but I would like to talk about one particular movie where I go to Mars. There is this mountain called Pyramid Mountain, and all this crazy alien shit goes on inside it. Do you think that's all science fiction? Think again, my friend. That's why you have to tune in to Pyramids on Mars UFO radio show on artistfirst.com. My friend Kevin Estrella, he is in a band called Pyramids on Mars. He has also been contacted by aliens. This guy has been a guest on over 15 UFO radio talk shows, so you have to listen to him. There's something going on, and it can't be ignored. He interviews people who have been abducted by aliens. He interviews alien-human hybrids. This is no bullshit. So get to the chopper! Do whatever you have to do and go listen. Get your ass to Mars. Pyramids on Mars. UFO radio.
You are listening to the Pamela Fold Show on the Artist First Radio Network. Are you an animal lover? I sure am. I spend more time with non-humans than humans, by choice. Anyway, here she is, ladies and gentlemen, Pamela Fold.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to my show. Thank you for hanging out with us throughout the commercial break. And I agree with you, Z-Man. I spend more time with animals than humans, by choice, too. So... getting back to my show, the second half of the broadcast, I told you I'm going to be talking to you about different games you can easily play with your pets while you're at home, while you're inside, to keep them entertained, because just like us, pets get bored too. So I'm going to start off with some games that you can easily play with your dog. And my little Shih Tzu mix, Teddy, he has more energy. And I'm pretty sure he thinks I live to play with him, which is usually the case. But there are times that I want to work and want to do my writing and have a deadline, and I need him to be able to just lay down and chew a bone. But in the evenings, I'm entirely at my pet's beck and call and play with them nonstop. So these are some games that Teddy absolutely loves. I know the real simple one is just putting treats, stuffing treats, or putting peanut butter inside the Kong, that red hollow toy that they sell at pet stores. And Teddy has never loved peanut butter like he does all of a sudden. I don't know what changed in him, but I tried to hide an allergy pill in peanut butter when he was a baby, like 3.5 years ago, and he found a pill, bit it out, and has not touched peanut butter since. I made myself a peanut butter sandwich a couple weeks ago, and he hears the peanut butter jar open, comes running in the kitchen, just begging me for peanut butter. Look at him, I'm like, you don't like peanut butter. You're not going to like this. And I put a glob on my finger and offer it to him. He licks it up. Well, you know, when he's bored and I'm trying to do my writing during the day, I get out his Kong, put a little peanut butter around the edge, and let him sit there and lick the peanut butter out of it. It keeps him entertained. I've also started making it even harder on him and sticking that peanut butter Kong in the freezer overnight and giving it to him the next morning. And then it really takes a long time for him to get all that peanut butter out of the Kong. And that chewing and just excitement from hunting and getting that food out of the Kong really does wear him out. Unfortunately, he is getting a little faster at it. The first time I gave him that frozen Kong, it took him over 3 hours to finish licking and chewing on it. And now he's down to about an hour, I guess it was today, that kept him busy. But he does take a really good nap afterward. And another game I found that he loves, and I only do this in the evening times when I don't want to concentrate and I'm just sitting playing with my pet, is get an empty 16-ounce water bottle and stuff it inside an old sock. Oh my gosh, the crinkle sound that that makes as the dog chomps on the water bottle and shake it. There's something about it that Teddy just absolutely loves. He runs around the house and throws that water bottle in the sock all over the place, crinkles it to where I couldn't hear the TV or a phone call if I wanted to. But I think it's amusing and hysterical and end up just laughing at the crazy antics that Teddy does when I give him this toy in the evening. So that's a really fun game that we've just discovered a couple weeks ago. Games that I've played with Teddy and my past dog, Sunny, is hiding a toy in a blanket. I'll get a big old beach towel and show Teddy his squeaky toy, and then I'll roll the toy up in the beach towel and push on the middle of it so that he hears the squeaker is muffled, but in the middle of that beach towel. And, oh, he digs, and he thinks that's great fun. It really does teach them and help them use their hunting skills that all dogs have in them naturally. And, of course, I didn't start by rolling the toy all the way up in the blanket or beach towel like I do now. I started by just covering it, showing him the toy, putting on the blanket, folding one edge over the toy, and let him get the easy satisfaction and confidence that I can get the toy out from under the cover. No big deal. But Teddy loves that game. Just wrap the toy up in the blanket. And another thing that I think Teddy loves it. Sometimes I tease that I'm annoying the puppy by doing this, but Teddy has lots of those hide-and-seek stuffed box toys where little squeaky toys or animals are inside. I know he has a chipmunk tree and a beehive and all sorts of different things. So I get one of those cloth boxes filled with holes, and that is his toy. And besides the normal characters that are supposed to go in the box, I stuff all kinds of things in that box. Just stuff as many toys inside as I can possibly fit, and then throw it across the room for Teddy. Oh, Teddy loves it, because every time he shakes that box, toys go flying across the room. And he shakes it again, and more toys go flying across the room. Then he puts it down, and he gets his paws on it, and he starts digging the toys out. So I find a complete amusement by entertaining these pets and letting them do their natural behaviors. And it's really, really amusing. It's the fun way that I spend my evenings with the pets. And let's see, what's another game that Teddy and I have been playing? Well, you know, Teddy's really, really energetic and really a character. And he's sometimes really, really easy to amuse. I know I got an Amazon box here the other day, and I took everything out of it, and I set it down on the floor to take the contents of the box to the pantry. I look back behind me, and Teddy has grabbed the flap of the box and is shaking it and carrying it through the house, just thinking that that box, a cardboard box, was the best toy in the world. So since then, I've given him empty boxes. I gave him an empty soda 12-pack box the other day, and he's shaking it, running all through the house, tearing the cardboard off of it. It makes a mess, and it makes a lot of noise, but it's pretty funny to watch him do this. So once I discovered his love of boxes, I got a toy one night, and on the chewed-up box flaps that he had created from this box that he'd been playing with all day, I hid the toy in the middle of the box and kind of tried to close the box flaps the best I could. Oh, Teddy thought that was big fun. He's digging at the box flaps, just absolutely going crazy till he got that toy out of the box. So those are the games that Teddy and I have come up with while we've been at home. And they're fun, easy ways to entertain your dog. And believe me, Teddy sleeps really good at night after playing all evening with me. So let's go to some of the games that you can play easily with the cats. Because me and my cats have found a lot of things to do and a lot of ways to entertain them. And anyone that has been to my house knows that my house is pretty much a cat and dog playground. Around the normal furniture, there's gobs of toys and cat trees and dog beds. So it looks like pet heaven over here. But I've also learned that cats are just as easily amused as dogs. As a matter of fact, I have been teasing my cats recently that I'm not going to spend money buying them fancy pet toys, which they already have hundreds of. But I have to laugh because every night when I sit down on the floor to play with the cat for the past, how long ago is Christmas? 4 months ago, I guess? They have one toy that they want to play with, and it's not a cat toy or any one of their presents that they've gotten. It is a ribbon that was on one of my packages when I brought it home from my parents' house on Christmas. This ribbon is the only thing that my cats want to chase every night. And we've been playing with this same blue ribbon for over 4 months now. And they love it. In fact, I'm trying to work, because I recently started doing ghostwriting gigs on Fiverr, so I have a lot more writing that I'm doing now during the day. And so sometimes when I get to make everybody lunch, the cats are really bothering me, wanting me to play and pay attention to them. I pick up that ribbon now, and I just hold on to it and drag it behind me as I'm walking. And the cat will run after me and pounce the ribbon and kind of play stalk after it, and it wears it out. So that when, by the time I sit back down to do my writing and continue working, they're tired. They go back to sleep, and I can continue doing what I have to do. So I find it really amusing that my cats like the ribbon better than any of the other toys. Let's see, what other things have I found that my cats like? Well, I know my parents have told me about their cat really liking to play with a ball in the bathtub and, like, rolling the ball around the perimeter of a bathtub and letting their cat play with it. My cats have never gotten the hang of that one. I guess they associate the bathtub with a bath, even though they haven't had a bath in forever, because cats pretty much take care of cleaning themselves once I got them past the baby messy phase. But one thing that they do like me to throw the ball or the toy into is a paper bag on its side, and rolling a ball or one of their little, they have a bunch of these little, it look like huge springs. They're real colorful, huge springs. One of those toys into it, oh, the cats go crazy. They dive into the bag, and then another cat's pouncing the guy that's in the bag from the outside. They think that's really big fun. And then when they do finally get the toy out, inevitably one of them will go back to the bag, lay down in it, and so all you see coming out of the bag is these two big yellow eyes staring at you. So they're really funny. And I've thrown their toys. I don't know. The other night, I guess I was bored or really easily amused, because I thought this was, like, really big fun. I think I was as entertained as the cats were. But Teddy had his cardboard box that was chewed, and he was tired of it. So I thought, oh, we'll make a game for the cats out of this box. And so I put the box 5-6 feet away from me on the floor, and I get a collection of the cat springs and balls and everything. And I sit there, and I'm sitting tossing these cat toys, trying to make a basket into the box. Well, the cats think this is fantastic, because when the toys miss, they roll across the floor, and the cat will hockey puck it across the floor and chase after it like crazy. And when I did get a few in, which I was a really bad shot that night, I think I got 2 of the 10 toys in the box. But when I did get them in, the cats would dive in the box and roll and kick and try and get the toy out of the box. And the spring toys, my cats are really good at picking up the cookies. The balls, they kind of stay in the box a whole lot longer than those spring toys do. And another thing I've played with and done, when I get like a big box from either Walmart or from Amazon, is you can actually create a big cat condo by cutting holes in the box or cutting the flaps so that there's a doorway to the box. I know I saw on social media and the internet of how people will make multi-room condos by stacking and taping these boxes together. Of course, my cats have all sorts of cloth-covered wood condos all over the place, but this is still a really fun activity to do on some evenings, cutting holes in these cardboard boxes and letting them explore it, because I don't know how your cats are, but my cats don't seem to know their size. It doesn't matter how tiny the hole in the box is or the box itself is. My cats are still convinced that they can get in it. And this box might be busting at the seams once my cat gets inside of it, but they're completely happy once they're inside of this box. So I like to watch them and see what they'll do if I do put a box that maybe I just wanted to cut the hole in the side of the box to roll a toy into, but my cats will try and do everything in their power to get that toy and get themselves in the box with the toy. It's pretty funny. And an indirect game that we that I just discovered last night with my cat is letting the toys roll under the sofa. I didn't do it on purpose. I was playing with the cats and just rolled one of their spring toys across the room, and it went under the sofa. And my sofa has the cloth skirts hanging down, so you can't see under it. But the cats all were laying on their side, using their paws to move the curtain or the skirt of my sofa, trying to get this toy out from under, which was all the way back against the wall. I had to get one of their long cat toy wands to get it out from under the sofa. There was no way their little paws could reach it, but it was pretty amusing to watch them try and get the toy and to be peeking their head under the skirt of the sofa. So that's my game on how to entertain your pets while you're stuck at home. And as you can tell, I'm as easily amused as my pets are. So I hope you've enjoyed tonight's show, and I thank you for listening to the Pamela Folland Show. You can find out more about me and my books at PamelaFolland.com, and listen to me next month, the fourth Monday of the month, at this same time on Artist First Radio Network. I'll talk to you then.